Where'd everybody go? My goodness, at all the children. Woo! Isn't that awesome? I tell you what, this is very special day. Very, very special day. God is good and it's good in so many ways. Thinking about freedom just for a little bit. Freedom. Freedom comes at a great cost, doesn't it? And you know, when you know Jesus, the Scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But what about freedom? Are we free in this country? Sure we are. Well, I walked into the courthouse the other day. You know, when you walk in the courthouse, there's the clerk, you know, the chancellor clerk right there. You just walk in the door and you walk right in. However, they got this new machine there that you got to walk through. Metal detector, right, Mr. Walter? That's the one. And so therefore, I walked in, and I was just going to walk from here to right there, okay? I had 90 seconds in that other room. But you had to go through that little metal detector, so I did what everybody else did. I pulled out my what's in my pocket, and I set my cell phone in there, and I walked through, and that thing didn't beep. All of a sudden, one of the guys looked down there and said, my pocket knife, y'all carry a pocket knife, don't you? I'm a knife-carrying preacher, okay? I had a pocket knife in there. And so when I went in there, they said, well, you're going to have to take that out. I said, okay. I said, could you just keep it on the table? No, you're going to have to take it out. I said, okay. And I took it, and there's some steps over there. And I said, I walked over there, and I just laid it on the step because I was just going to walk in there for about 90 seconds. No, sir, you're going to have to take the knife out of the courthouse. And I said, yes, sir. So I took the knife out of the courthouse, and I went in, I put it in my car, and walked back in the house, walked in, walked right by there, went in there, the church clerk, 90 seconds, walked back out. And the guy was so apologetic. He was very professional in what he did. He said, I'm sorry, sir, but... And I said, that's okay. You're just doing your job. And it really was. He was just doing his job. But freedom. You've got freedom in the land, but you're not always free. You're not free to do everything you want to do, but you can free everything you can do within the confines of the law. Freedom. And there's a lot of people who need freedom today in their life. And so what I want us to do, I want us to go fishing for money. Now, that got his attention. Starting to fish for money. All right. Hey, that sounds like a good topic. So if you would, I want you to travel with me because we're looking at freedom this morning in Matthew chapter 17. And we're going to be looking at verses 24 through 27. And our thought pattern is, if your freedom was taken away from you today, would you still be free? Think about it. If your freedom was taken away from you today, would you still be free? You know, I remember reading about Pastor Yun over in China, part of the secret church, and he was in prison three different times for 7 years. He had to escape from prison, and one given occasion, after they'd broken his legs, God healed his legs and he walked out. But freedom! Even though while he was in prison, he was a free man. You see, you can be free today. You can literally be free today, even though if things are taken away from you, but it's going to be found in your heart because Jesus taught to be free. So I'm going to ask you 7 questions, and you can answer them out loud, or you can just listen for an answer, whichever way you want to do. First question but let's read the text so you'll see where all these questions are coming from. In Matthew chapter 24. I'm sorry, chapter 17, beginning with verse 24, said, When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come to the house, Jesus anticipated, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you. Now, I call this one of the biggest fish stories ever been told. Have you ever gone fishing and caught a fish with money in its mouth? Well, my grandson Dalton, he went fishing and he said, Granddaddy, man, we caught a bass and it had these crawls in it. Had these big old hooks, you know, coming from crawfish sticking out. He found that inside of the fish. But have you ever found money? Well, let's listen about this great fish story. Greatest fish story probably ever told. But the first question I want to ask you, what is the temple task? The temple tax. The temple tax. Well, when you begin to look at the temple tax, it's as old as the Old Testament. In fact, you go back to every Israelite that was 20 years of age and older was to give a temple tax of a half a shekel every year. So it was the way in which they provided for the needs of the temple that it might continue on. So the temple tax was a method and means to support the local religion, which was the Hebrew, the Judaism, and the temple right there, which was to support it, and they were very much to be a part of it. So the real question came along, well, did Jesus pay taxes? Question number two, did Jesus pay taxes? And your answer would be, yes, absolutely. Jesus paid tax. Why did he pay tax? Did he have to? Or was it something that he had? Was Jesus free from paying tax? Well, Simon Peter, real quickly, he answered that question. He says, yes, Jesus pays tax. But do you ever wonder about your taxes? Do you ever wonder about the money that you pay? Is it going in the right place? Do you have to pay all that you need to pay? Do you ever wonder, should I even pay taxes at all? Well, I mean, if I were to ask you, do you think all your money's going to a good place? Y'all got a problem. Well, taxes. Well, Jesus did. Jesus paid the temple tax. He supported what was. It was a national type of church that was there. It was the temple. It was established by God for God's people, and Jesus supported it. In fact, it's kind of interesting that Jesus even supported the temple that the people had turned against him, and they were trying to tear him down. So do you want to support something that is going to come after you? Well, let me put it in a common context. Do you want to support the government that's going to turn the IRS and is going to come after you because of some of the affiliations that you have? Do you want to support a government like that? Well, Jesus did. Why did he support it? Because it was right. You see, there's a lot about being free, and you think about your freedoms that really come into question. And that we really have to ask the deep questions, why am I doing this? I think April 15th is one of the biggest days of the year, isn't it? The dreaded tax day. But what did Jesus do? Did Jesus have to pay taxes? Simon Peter was struggling over this. He really was. And so when he came back inside, Jesus asked him another question. And the third question that he asked him, what do you think, Simon? What do you think? I like that. Because Jesus wants to know what you think about what you do. If you've got problems with the tax structure, Jesus wants to know it. If you got problem with giving, Jesus wants to know it. If you got problems with the government, Jesus wants to know it. If you got internal problems about your freedom, Jesus wants to know it. What do you think? You see, He wants you to be free. All your freedoms can be taken away, but you can still be free. Now, that's what he's at. And so therefore, he comes back at him and he asks him this big question right here. He wanted him to be free. But let me back up just a little bit. Paying temple tax. Do you ever struggle about paying the tithe? You know, the tithe. Do I have to pay the tithe? Well, that's a struggle for a lot of people. In other words, the money that I give to the local church, then where does it go? What does it do? Is it something that I need to do? Is it something I don't have to do? Is it something that God wants me to do? You know, that's a struggle. It's a struggle with a lot of people. Some people, they look at it, man, they've already made up their mind and they're gone and they go on. But a lot of people struggle. So therefore, sometimes in the course of the freedom, you need to back up and say, whoo, let me take a breath of fresh air. Jesus said, Simon, what do you think? And so therefore, I'm asking some of us today, what do you think? How does this thing work? Well, tithing. Malachi, if you want to follow what I'm about to do, in Malachi chapter 3 in verse 10, I'm going to bring out about 10 points right here like a machine gun. In Malachi, Malachi chapter 3 in verse 10, the scripture says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. In other words, tithing is a command for believers to bring their resources to the local church. Hey, that's commanded by God. That ought to be sufficient enough. But what about the law? And what about grace? What about the New Testament? Oh, we still struggle with that, don't we? So therefore, we're asking ourselves the question, did God command this? And I think we would say yes. The second thing, that there may be food in my house. Tithing was established for a purpose. In other words, that purpose was that there might be food or resources inside of the house for the work of the ministry to be accomplished. In many cases, it's buying food for people. In many cases, it's buying literature. In many cases, hey, you're in here and it's not 90 degrees. Not bad, huh? Okay, you know what? So, tithing was with a purpose. Tithing is also a testing of our faith. The scripture says in Malachi 3:10, he says, and try me in this. Tithing is a testing of your faith. Testing? Oh yeah, it's testing. God wants to bless you. God wants you to be free inside of the confines of the community, inside of the freedom of the church, inside in the presence of God. God wants you to experience some very neat things. Tithing. What about this? Tithing is connected to a promise. The scripture says the Lord of hosts. In other words, who's the guarantee? The guarantee behind this blessing is the Lord of hosts. What is the source? The source of the blessing is heaven. He says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Whoa, that's pretty neat. All of a sudden now, when we begin to respond to God in a positive way, giving Him blessings so that other people might be blessed, God says, I'm going to open up. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. And then there's going to be the force of the blessing. And I'm going to pour out blessings on you. Pour out. That's not trickle out. You know? That's pour out. He's got a bigger picture than you. And He's going to pour out the blessings. And then the force behind this is He's pouring this out. But look at the magnitude of the blessing. That there will not be room enough for you to even receive what I'm going to pour out on you. Whoa! Isn't that pretty neat? You don't get that on Wall Street. He'll say, look, be a blessing. And I'm going to show you something. That's the magnitude. There's not going to be enough room. But look at the scope. Look at the scope of this thing that's happening here. He says, I will rebuke the devourer. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Who's the devourer? You want to know why you had a flat tire? Maybe Satan put a hole in it. You want to know why your crops went dried up? You want to know why you lost a job? You want to know why all the fruit fell off the tree? You want to know why you got sick and you couldn't work? You want to know some of these things? Some of these things are related to what Satan is individually attacking you and trying to take your freedom away from you. And so all of a sudden, it happens, the scope of it. He says, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. And then look at the protection. So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. So that what he says to you, when you honor God with what God has given you, he's going to protect what you got. That's a blessing. And he goes on to say that the prosperity of the blessing will be the fruit of your hands. In other words, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Three things are happening. Number one, there's not going to be enough room. Number two, he's going to hold back Satan's hand, the destroyer. And number three, that in which you have planted, it's going to bear fruit. And there's a reason behind this. And that's the recognition of the blessing. And all nations will call you blessed. Folks, it's nothing like when you are a blessing. Did you know that people get blessed? Hey, by the way, if you want to be a blessed, just get around somebody that's a blessing. You want to get happy? Get around somebody that's happy. You want to laugh? Get around somebody that laughs. If you want to feel sad all day, get around somebody that's grumpy. If you want to have a bad attitude, just get around somebody with a bad attitude. You will have a bad attitude. But if you want a blessing, hey, that's what he says. And so, what he wants to do, he wants to give you recognition, because he says, for you will be a delightful land. The joy is going to spread across. It's not just your joy. People are going to recognize it. And what's the authority behind all this? The authority is the Lord of hosts. He says the Lord of hosts. So therefore, now when you begin to say, well, about my freedom, Jesus really wants you to be free. And He gives you insights how to be free even though circumstances around you may begin to tilt her down. Well, what do you think? What do you think? Number three. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? What do you think? And so therefore, when he begins to ask this question, what do you think? I hear something else. Jesus says, I really care what you think, Christy. I really do. I really care what's going on in your mind. I really care what's going on in your thoughts. I really care about the struggles that you're going through. I really care about when the preacher messes up and he doesn't put stuff in the bulletin. Hey. I really care. You know? Jesus Christ really cares. He does. So they, Simon, what do you think? And then after he asked him that, he really kind of brought it down into a discussion right here. And he says, now you're free, but I want to know who this freedom is. And so I like to read that portion of the scripture that says, question number four says, who pay taxes, sons or strangers? It says, from whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. So the real question, one of the main things that we need to realize is, how do you ask questions? You know what? When you learn to ask the right questions, you get the right answers. You really do. You really do. Who spilled the milk in the kitchen? Johnny, did you spill the milk in the kitchen? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Sometimes if you learn to ask the right questions, you get the right answers. Parents have to learn that all the time. Don't they? Don't you have to learn those right questions? Simon, let me teach you something. Who pays taxes? Strangers or free men? Strangers. So, the sons are free. Simon, who's the Lord of the Sabbath? Well, Jesus is. And if you're a part of Jesus' family, you are a son because you have been adopted into His family. Therefore, because you've been adopted into the family of Jesus, you are free. You are free. But now, does your freedom change the circumstances around you sometimes? And the answer is going to be, no. I'm free. Jesus would say, I don't have to pay because I'm a son. I'm not a stranger. I'm free under the law because now grace is abiding here. Because the law tells you what not to do. Grace tells you how to do. The law could not lead us to God. Grace through faith in Jesus leads us to God. The law condemns us, but grace forgives us. So the conclusion is, if we're under grace, we're free. And so the workings of the law, we're not being held down to. We're not being chained. And therefore, I do not have to give the temple tax because I am a son. You don't have to do a lot of things because you are under grace. But now, question number five. Can you beat this fish story? All right, anybody, can you beat this fish story? Simon, here's what I want you to do. I want you, and in fact, I'll read it to you. He says, nevertheless, lest we offend them. Was Jesus free? Yes. Did Jesus have to give the temple tax? No. But did Jesus give the temple tax? Yes. So that he would not be offended, so that he'd be a positive influence in the government in which he was living in, and therefore in this religious system, because in the... Now that, and by the way, let me clarify something real quick there. When I'm talking about taxes there, that was the temple tax. That was not the tax that went to Caesar. Okay, there is a government tax there, and that tax, Jesus always paid that tax. In fact, if you remember the words of Jesus, Jesus says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and unto God the things that are God's. And so therefore, we are responsible under the government to provide for the needs of the government. That is our responsibility as a good citizen. In relation to the church, we are free under grace. We're free. We're free to help from a heart that's love and full. We are free. Here's what I want you to do. Okay, Simon Peter. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast out a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you've opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and for you. I like being on Jesus' team. Wouldn't you? Hey, he took care of me too. By the way, Jesus Christ does take care of you. He provides for the needs that you have so that you might be able to give. He does take care of you. But the thing that I want you to bring out and see right here, why did he do it? He didn't want to offend the others. So what did Jesus do? Jesus says, if we're going to be fishermen, I want to teach you how to fish. I really do. In your freedom, I want to teach you how to fish. And here's how you fish. If we're going to be fishers of men, if we're going to walk around free, if we're going to be a blessing to the nation, if we're going to be a blessing to the people around us, if we're going to have the blessings of God just overflow so much we can't stand it, that we can't contain it, and that we're going to be a blessing to the land, Christians ought to be a blessing to the land. If we're going to be this, how's this going to work? First thing is go where he says go. Go where he says go. In other words, he said to them, go to the sea. So you go to wherever Jesus tells. If Jesus tells you to go to school, you go to school. If Jesus tells you to go to the government office, you go to the government office. If Jesus tells you to go dig ditches, you go dig ditches. You go where I tell you to go. All right? And then secondly, do what he says do. What did he say do? He said, cast the hook. So we begin to cast that hook out there. Do what he says do. Go fishing. Hey, men, do we need anything else? If Jesus said go fishing, let's go fishing. But now when you do this, then receive what he has prepared. And I'll put all this together in closing in just a moment. Receive what he has prepared. Jesus prepared that fish. He prepared that fish to look at that shiny coin. That coin was in that fish's mouth. And when old Simon Peter got it, receive what he's prepared. Open what he tells you to open. Find what he tells you to find. Take what he tells you to take and give what he tells you to give. Now that was pretty fast right there. So I want to kind of bring this thing down. Are you a son? Question number 6. Are you a son or are you a stranger? Now if you think about that, am I free or am I not free? Am I under the law and I must abide by all the things the law says? The Bible says if you break God's law in one place, you're guilty of him all. Are you under the penalty of the law or are you under the freedom of grace? Which is it? Let's look at it. I want to take this same line of reasoning about how to fish for men in conclusion right here. He says, right here, he says, Jesus said, what is it? Jesus said you must be born again. Jesus said, as sure as I tell you, you must be born again. What is it? What is it? Secondly, did Jesus do it? I talked about the temple. Did Jesus do it? Jesus died on the cross to give you eternal life. Should he do it? Should Jesus have done that? Jesus was obedient to the Father. On the cross, he says, and being found in the fashion as appeared to man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. What was the rationale behind this? Jesus Christ died for our sins and he paid for our sins. He said, therefore, as through the offense one man's judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, an act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in the justification of life. In other words, what was the rationale behind Jesus? The rationale behind Jesus was that he paid for your sins and my sins and he died for us. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Because he loves us. Jesus knows us. Jesus loves us. This I know because the Bible tells me so. John 15:13 says, greater loveth no man than this, than lay down his life for his friends. Conclusion. Here we go. Let's bring all this stuff down. We asked a lot of questions. The first question that we asked is, what is it? What is it? Talking about the temple tax. What is eternal life? Second question, did Jesus give the tax? Yes. What about you, Lot? Hey, yeah. The second portion of us is that Jesus died for us. Jesus did it for us. Did he have to? No, Jesus didn't have to, but Jesus did because he was obedient to the Father. And then what's the result of that? The result of that, the rationale behind it is because he loves us. Jesus paid for our sins, and now he wants us to love him specifically. He wants us to love. Let me put it this way. The temple tax became the reality check on Simon's pilgrimage. The institution of religion created the opportunity to ask some deep questions of life. Jesus came under the authority of the government and sought peace where possible. Freedom is first of all a matter of the heart. Jesus taught our freedom does not move away from our dealing with the circumstances that are surrounding us. Fishing for money produced the greatest fish story ever told, with life-changing experience reinforcing freedom in Christ. Fishing for money creates an environment for asking questions. Following the greatest fish story ever told leads us to the leading question, are you a son or a stranger? If you are a son, you are free. If you are a stranger, do you want your freedom? Freedom comes through believing Jesus Christ is alive and living today. Freedom comes by confessing Jesus Christ, Lord of your life, and believing God raised Jesus from the dead. Do you believe? Then acknowledge the truth and receive His salvation and follow Him in baptism. That's the conclusion. That's the conclusion. Oh, if I could say, what was the greatest fish story ever told? One by Jesus to teach us about freedom. Jesus wants you to be free. Free on this earth and free to go to heaven. Hey, He wants you to be that free. Are you free today? Are you a son? If you're not a son, let me encourage you. Give your life to Jesus Christ this morning. We'll help you. We'll help you. All you have to say is, look, I want to be a son. And we'll share with you Scripture. The same Scripture we showed with Savannah. We'll share with you how you too can be free. And you can follow the Lord in Scriptural baptism. You can do that. You can. You can do that this morning. Would you like to do that? Let's pray together. Father, as we come before You this day, we come with great joy in our heart. We thank You, Lord, for the fish story that was told. And we thank You that the fish story told us about freedom. Father, we want to be free in the circumstances in which we're in. I thank You for those men who were at the courthouse who did their job right. I thank You for the laws of the land. I thank You for the privilege of paying taxes in this country. I thank You, Father, for the privilege of supporting the local church. I thank You for the freedom that we have in this country, that we can share the Word and not be afraid that somebody's going to come along, take our Bibles away and cast us into prison. I thank You, Lord. But whatever comes, Jesus is going to be free in my life. And I pray that Jesus will be free in the life of those who are around us. Let there be freedom in this country. Let there be freedom in people's lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to share together in a time of invitation for you to say, wait a minute, I'm struggling with a question. I don't know what that question is that you're struggling with. Simon Peter struggled with the question of taxation. Jesus helped him. What are you struggling with? Jesus will help you. If you know Him as a son, the prayer altar is going to be open. Hey, maybe you just need to go talk to Him a little bit and let Him kind of guide you into the truth, because He says you shall know the truth and the truth just set you free. This morning I just want you to bow your heads for just a few moments. Let's do that.